Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Menghui website. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
Toronto, Canada. Falun Dafa greeted with cheers during Canada Day Parade. The Tian Gao Marching Band and Waist Drum Team from Toronto were once again invited to participate in the Canada Day Parade on July 1, 2022, which was Canada's 155th National Day. When the band and waist drum team passed by, many spectators cheered and clapped their hands to the rhythm of the music and took pictures and videos. Miss Huang, a Chinese Canadian who immigrated to Canada many years ago, was also in the parade, expressed support for truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. She said the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, is harming the Chinese people, especially the recent harsh zero COVID policy in China. I can't understand why it is doing this. The CCP cannot represent China, let alone the Chinese people. Ms. Huang quit her membership in the CCP organizations with an alias and thanked the practitioner who assisted her. Another Chinese parade participant by the name of Ms. Bayer mentioned that she knows about the Tian Gao Marching Band and Falun Dafa from past parades. A Dafa practitioner clarified the truth to her, and the woman said that she was a Christian. The practitioner told her that Christians should quit their memberships in the CCP organizations because the CCP is atheist. Ms. Beher agreed and quit the CCP's organizations she joined in the past. Ms. Liu from Northeast China had just arrived in Canada. A practitioner explained that the members of the Tian Gao Marching Band were Falun Dafa practitioners and clarified the truth to her. Ms. Liu agreed with the practitioner that real patriotism was support and help between Chinese people after they immigrated to other countries. She also agreed that patriotism means to love one's own nation and one's own countrymen. It is not the so-called love of the party. The CCP cannot represent China. She happily quit her membership in the CCP organizations she had joined. Parthiban and his wife, Aina, watched the parade. They danced along with the music when the Tian Gao Marching Band passed by. Aina said it was her first time hearing the band play, and she really liked their music. She asked a practitioner what Falun Dafa was. When she saw the banner with those words carried in front of the Tian Gao Marching Band. After listening to the practitioner explain, Parthiban said that Falun Dafa was good. He was happy to hear that practicing Falun Dafa benefits people both physically and mentally. He said that truthfulness, compassion, forbearance was helpful to society, and he hoped more people will follow it. Spectator Mr. Sal said that he saw the Tian Gao Marching Band every year when he attended the Canada Day Parade and that their music is dynamic and uplifting. The gentleman added that he knew about the CCP's persecution of Falun Dafa in China. He added, "I am happy that practitioners can come to Canada where they can freely practice their belief."
Washington, D.C., International Religious Freedom Summit, CCP's Forced Organ Harvesting Highlighted. Forced organ harvesting by the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, was discussed extensively in numerous sessions during the International Religious Freedom, IRF, Summit in Washington, D.C., on June 28 through the 30th, 2022. A documentary highlighting forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners was screened at the summit. The CCP's crimes depicted in the film shocked audience members many of whom shared it on social media. Levi Brody, executive director of the Falun Dafa Information Center, spoke at two of the sessions, presenting the topics Then and Now, the persecution of Falun Gong, and Pandemic Persecution and Pushback, Trends and Analysis from the Suppression of Falun Gong. He said the suppression against Falun Gong in China has lasted 23 years and it still continues. Antony J. Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, said in a video played at the conference, "Like all of you at this gathering, the United States has a deep and abiding commitment to protecting and promoting religious freedom for all people, everywhere. Supporting religious freedom is a core American value." Nina Shea is a Hudson Institute Senior Fellow and Director of the Center for Religious Freedom. She hosted two sessions on forced organ harvesting, one entitled China's Hideous Science of Forced Organ Harvesting, and the other called China's Forced Organ Harvesting Continues. During the second session, Shea mentioned that the crime of forced organ harvesting was first exposed in 2006 and later confirmed by the short waiting time for organs in China. It was in 2006 that the ex-wife of a surgeon in China testified in Washington, D.C., that her ex-husband had removed corneas from over 2,000 Falun Gong practitioners. She said, "My ex-husband told me that most of the Falun Gong practitioners were strong and healthy, and many were still breathing when their organs were removed." She apologized to Falun Gong practitioners on behalf of her ex-husband, saying that he believed he had no choice, that he asked not to perform those operations, but believed if he stopped, his wife, child, and parents might all be killed. She added that later he faced consequences and had late-stage cancer. Shortly after that testimony, David Kilgore and David Mattis started their independent investigations. When presenting their findings in Ottawa on July 6, 2006, Mattis called the forced organ harvesting a new form of evil on this planet. After publishing Bloody Harvest, The Killing of Falun Gong for Their Organs, in 2009, the two authors received an award from the International Society for Human Rights. China Tribunal, an independent human rights organization, in March 2020, released its final investigative judgment and stated in its conclusion, "In the long-term practice in the People's Republic of China of forced organ harvesting, it was indeed Falun Gong practitioners who were used as a source, probably the principal source, of organs for forced organ harvesting." Larry Liu talked about the current status of Falun Gong in China, saying that it was very popular after being introduced to the public in 1992. But the CCP's core ideology of class struggle, hatred, and lies fundamentally contradicts traditional Chinese culture, including Falun Gong. That is why former CCP leader Jiang Zemin started the persecution in 1999. Resulting in the arrest and torture of millions of practitioners and deaths of many thousands. In the past 23 years, Falun Gong practitioners have worked tirelessly, raising awareness of the persecution, and Mr. Li hopes the U.S. government, as well as the international community, can help to end the brutality.
Bariloche, Argentina. Hundreds of tourists per day visit the Art of Jen Chan Ren exhibition. The international exhibition, The Art of Jen Chan Ren, Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance, was held in Bariloche for 5 days in 2022. Surrounded by lakes and mountains, it is a popular tourist destination and is sometimes referred to as the Switzerland of South America. The locale provided an excellent opportunity to clarify the truth through the art exhibition to a variety of visitors. Over 100 people a day learned about Falun Dafa and the persecution through the exhibition. A selection of poems from Hong Yin IV was placed at the entrance of the gallery. Some people stayed to read them carefully. Many visitors were moved by the artistry and spiritual energy of the artworks and the stories the paintings conveyed about the brutal persecution of Falun Dafa practitioners in China. Sandrine from Tigray, Argentina, thought it was a revealing exhibition that few people know what is going on in China and that she just learned about the persecution thanks to the exhibition. Anahi, an artist from Lomas de Zamora, Argentina, said technically the artworks look immaculate to me. It is very interesting how the artists work from the technique, from the message, and how they connect the two things. Roberto, a lawyer, was visiting the exhibition for the second time. He said that he read about the Chinese government's killing of Falun Dafa practitioners and sees the horrible injustice. He was impressed by the compassion of Falun Dafa practitioners. A history teacher who visited the exhibition was very surprised to hear the explanations of the Falun Dafa's practitioners about the artworks. He knew about communist regimes and their killings. He said he was interested to learn more about communism and how it has persecuted people of faith during its history. He also asked the practitioners for reliable sources of information because what happens in China is not told by any of the traditional media. Milagros from Bariloche, Argentina, said, "I learned about culture, beliefs, and how, despite so much evil, there is always a seed of hope. This exhibition conveys how to try to be a little better, to go out and not focus on the bad, to keep giving the best of yourself, and even a little bit more, too." 14-year-old Ivan from Tigray, Argentina, was particularly impressed with one painting in which he saw that justice will come to pass and that those who are doing good will be rewarded. In the exhibit's guest book, a visitor named Valentina wrote, "I entered the exhibition with no expectations, having no idea what I would find. These artworks made me go through many emotions, contemplation, fascination, helplessness, and sadness. But I ended with happiness and eagerness to learn more about the topic. Thank you."
New Zealand. Dignitaries support Falun Dafa. Rally in march. Condemn CCP brutality. Falun Gong practitioners held a rally in march led by the Tianguo Marching Band in Auckland, New Zealand, on June 25, 2022. The event was held to commemorate the United Nations International Day in support of victims of torture. Participants in the event explained how Falun Dafa, also known as Falun Gong, has been persecuted by the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, since July 1999, and urged people to help stop the brutality. Passersby signed a petition calling for an end to the persecution in communist-ruled China. Former city councillors, human rights lawyers, representatives from the Auckland Council for Civil Liberties, as well as numerous non-governmental organizations attended the event. They called for an end to the CCP's crimes against Falun Dafa and other minority groups, and to sanction the human rights violation perpetrators. Margaret Taylor, manager of the Amnesty International New Zealand, wrote a letter to show her support. She said that according to the information collected by Amnesty International, the human rights condition in China continues to deteriorate. She encouraged people to urge the New Zealand government to help end the atrocities in China. Renowned human rights lawyer Kerry Gore said that Falun Dafa practitioners in China have suffered all kinds of torture and mistreatment, including forced labor and non-consensual live organ harvesting, which is in fact state-sanctioned murder. All of this has been documented by human rights organizations. Mr. Gore said that New Zealand ratified the Convention Against Torture, CAT, in 1989 and emphasized that the country needs to do more to help prisoners of conscience and hold the perpetrators accountable through legislation such as the Magnet Sky Act, a U.S. law that holds foreign perpetrators of human rights violations accountable. Barry Wilson, president of the Auckland Council for Civil Liberties, called for more support to help those who are tortured. He hoped New Zealand could adopt measures to bar human rights perpetrators from entry to their country and freeze their assets overseas. Nyandak Rishal from the Tibetan Association said everyone should have freedom of belief. He also pointed out he and other people at the event were against the Chinese Communist Party, not Chinese people. Citing words from Dr. Martin Luther King, Mr. Rishal quoted, "In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." There was also support from spectators. Businessman Luciano Garcia was in Guangdong Province in South China in 2013. When he first heard about the forced organ harvesting, he offered, "Many people are still unaware of the atrocities in China, and that is why events like this are very important. I hope New Zealand will pass laws that ban organ tourism." Social media activist Lingo Liwei speaks fluent Chinese and has visited 32 cities in China. He knows Falun Dafa practitioners are non-political and agrees that exposing the CCP's brutality is crucial. Photographer Shay Lawrence took many pictures of the Tianguo marching band, explaining he liked everything about it. He concluded, "Our world needs the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance."
Falun Dafa practitioner on hunger strike for 50 days and counting. Ms. Ma Yinhuan was arrested on May 9, 2022 for practicing Falun Gong, a spiritual discipline that has been persecuted by the Chinese Communist regime since 1999. She has since been on a hunger strike to protest the unlawful detention. Ms. Ma of Shura Zhangwang City, Hebei Province, was arrested after being recorded by a surveillance camera putting up banners about Falun Gong. She was put in criminal detention the next day to protest the persecution while still in police custody. She started a hunger strike. The police retaliated and refused to provide any daily necessities to her, including toilet paper. The police also force-fed her. She was transferred to the number 2 detention center 3 weeks later, where she continues her hunger strike. Ms. Ma's family hired a lawyer to represent her, but the detention center used all kinds of excuses to deny the visits. They also claimed that they had told the police about Ms. Ma's situation, but when the lawyer contacted the police, the response was that such information was never received. The woman's family applied for her release on bail, only to be given the runaround between the detention center and the police station. Some officers revealed that they couldn't release her, given an order from the Jiaoqin District Police Department. Ms. Ma is now in critical condition, and her family is very worried about her. The names and contact information of the head of the police department, the head of the city number 2 detention center, the Jiaoxing District Procuratorate prosecutor, and 3 officers involved in the persecution of Ms. Ma are now all part of public record and can be obtained from Mingwei.
Singapore. Falun Dafa practitioners participate in 9-day class. The Singapore Falun Dafa Association held a 9-day Chinese-English bilingual class for new and experienced Falun Dafa practitioners from June 11th to the 19th, 2022. The class participants watched videos of Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Dafa, lecture about the practice. Veteran practitioners demonstrated how to do the five Falun Dafa exercises. On day 9, class participants shared their insights and experiences. One woman, a housewife named Sharon, learned about Falun Dafa through the internet. She said that she wished to improve her health because she heard from friends that practicing Falun Dafa sometimes resolves health issues. She signed up for the 9-day class. After learning more about Falun Dafa during the class, she said she realized that maintaining one's virtue is very important. Lei, a woman who learned Falun Dafa in China in 1996, moved to Singapore many years ago and stopped practicing. In May of 2022, she decided to resume Falun Dafa practice, and she joined a weekly Fa study group. Since she had not participated in the 9-day class in Singapore, she signed up for this one. Singaporean gentleman Mr. Tai learned about Falun Dafa a long time ago through a Chinese practitioner. Because he is about to retire, Mr. Tai recently told a friend that he wanted to start practicing. He hopes that he can better control his emotions by practicing Falun Dafa. Lena from Vietnam attended the 9-day class with her 2 children. Lena explained that she started practicing Falun Dafa in 2017. She said her son told her that he felt the Falun spinning in his palm while doing the exercise. Her daughter sometimes saw pink lotus flowers when she did the exercises. Her son and daughter both attend the Mingwei School on weekends, where they do the exercises and study the Fa with other young practitioners. A woman named Shuba shared, "The environment during the 9-day class was simple, and everyone was kind and caring. The practitioners taught the exercises with patience and compassion, and that participating in the 9-day class was a beautiful experience." Every 3 months, the Singapore Falun Dafa Association offers a free course for people interested in practicing Falun Dafa. The classes are held for 9 consecutive days and include Mr. Li's lectures about the practice and instruction for learning how to do the Falun Dafa exercises. During the pandemic, an ongoing online presentation of a similar introductory program coordinated by veteran Dafa practitioners called Learning Falun Gong was offered in English and still exists today.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.